Blog Talk Radio.
Kyrie Bill, welcome to the Jasar's Love Show. My name is Isaiah. I have the privilege of introducing the host. You know her. She's my favorite person. Will you please join me in welcoming my grandmother, Mama Jahi?
All right, all right, all right. I know y'all was expecting to hear Mama Jahi's voice. She's out right now, tending to some business in terms of taking her mom to be able to get a pair of shoes and a couple other things. And
okay.
I'm going to bring her up in a second, but I want to play this song by Jimmy Cliff called You Can Get It If You Really Want. All you got to do is try, try, try. And the reason I'm playing this is because part of what y'all should be looking at in life is, what do you really want out of life? And then after you ask yourself, what do you want, how do you plan about going about achieving it? But anyway, let's listen to Jimmy Cliff talk about You Can Get It If You Really Want.
You can get it if you really want. You can get it if you really want. You can get it if you really want. But you will try. You try and try. You try and try. You succeed at last. Persecution, you must fear. Win or lose, you've got to get your share. Got your mind set on a dream. You can get it. You can get it if you really want. You can get it if you really want. You can get it if you really want. You really want. But you will try. Try and try. Try and try, you succeed at last. I know it. No one, not a bitch in a day. Opposition will come your way. What they talk about, what that we see.
Jimmy Cliff's The Harder They Come album. It came out in 1972 when he talked about that he talked about the fact that whatever it is that you want in life, you can get it if you really want. And so, you know, we just want to try to tie some of those things together today. As today's show, as we get into today's show, today's topic, Mama Jahi is going to be talking about, to explore the benefits of having a healthy family life and being a part of a village or tribe to learn and practice your culture. how can a healthy village or tribe life create peace and love? So we want to do it right now. We want to reach out. Oh, she's no longer on the line. So I got to wait till she gets in. She hopes to be in within about 10 minutes. So what we're going to do. So what we're going to do is we're going to go back to another piece here by Gil Scott and Ron called Madison Avenue, where he talks about, you know, they're trying to sell, you know, it's built on selling people things, even if they don't need it. So let's see what he has to say about this in terms of Madison. Madison Avenue by the late great Gil Scott Heron. He's talking about, again, you know, this country is based on buying and selling. People buying things even if you don't need it, you know. And so, you know, the thing is, it's a very dysfunctional society, because we have people that like to collect gadgets. So we have gadget collectors who spend their time gathering gadgets and other things that will allow them to feel as though that they have a sense of freedom. And this leads me to the next song before I bring Mama Jahi up and on. It's called A Freedom Song by Third World. It says, some people don't have no freedom. we're going to see where Mama Jai is and if she's ready to be able to come on and be able to talk with us today. So let me check in and see if she's in a place where she can talk right now. Mama Jai, you out there?
I'm out here still on a public transportation right now.
Okay,
so,
all right.
Okay, so I'm going to need about 10 more minutes. Hello, everybody, though. Thank you.
Are you able to talk?
I'll be listening to you because I can't really hear that well, okay?
Okay, all right. Songs and go through the meaning of what those songs mean and, you know, basically being able to share that with our listening audience so that they can get the feeling of our vibration for, you know, what it is that we want to be able to share with everybody. So just thank you for being out there on the line and, you know, glad to be able to have you on the call. So let me go back to YouTube and see what else I can pull up here. Okay, we're going to play a song from Nina Simone called Why. The King of Love is Dead. Dr. Martin Luther King Jr.
We stand before that moment that is written between our hands. But this tune is written about him, for him. So we had yesterday to learn it. Once upon this planet Earth, there's a man who chose love and freedom is far. He was dreaming of a day peace would come to earth to stay. And he spread this message across the land. Timely as a chief, he pleads. Love thy neighbor was his creed. Pain, humiliation, death, he did not dread. With his mind inside, from his bones he did not hide. It's hard to think of this great man is dead. The murders never cease. All they mean or all they be. Do they ever hope to gain? Will my country fall, stand or fall? Is it too late for us all? And Martin Luther King just died in bed.
always living was a threat of death ahead. Folks, you better stop and think, 'cause we're heading off the grid. What happened now? And he is dead. He was for equality for all people. Love and goodwill. Hate was not his way. He was not a violent man. Be the tree, still be the space. We can all shed tears, but it won't change the thing. Teach your people, will they ever learn? 'Cause you always kill with burn and burn with guns and kill with guns and burn. Don't you know how we got to react? You know what it will bring. But you've seen the mountaintop. And he knew he could not stop. Always living with a threat of death ahead. Oh, you better stop and think. Everybody knows we're on the brink. What will happen now that the king's dead? Oh, see, it seems about time. And he knew he could not stop. Always living with a threat of death ahead. Oh, you better stop and think and feel again while we're headed for the brain. What's gonna happen now in all of our cities? Our people are walking, they're living in love, even if they have to die, even if they have to die at the moment that they know what life is. Even at that one moment that you know what life is, if you have to die, it's all right. But you know what life is. You know what freedom is. What will come out of your life? What's gonna happen now that the king of love is dead?
Now that the king of love is dead, tribute to Nina Simone did for Dr. Martin Luther King when we lost him in terms of his assassination. And you know, some people say, you know, hey, that was a tremendous setback. And I would have to say, yes, it was. And You know, we lost Malcolm X during that time period. And sort of like out of that era, we have one last person standing. That is the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, who has an album out called Let's Change the World, in which he brought together a collection of artists to take and share that message with people vocally and instrumentally. Has such people on there as Stephanie Mills, Snoop Dogg Dogg, Rick Ross, Kenny Gamble, and the list just goes on in terms of the all of the different people that he was able to pull together to put that collection piece together. And I would say for folks that's listening, go to We Can Change the World. We Can Change the World. Put that in Google and pull that up. You should see Minister Louis Farrakhan and the whole piece that they have around that. I see that we have Mr. Murphy on the line. I see that we have Mama Jahi on the line. She was on public transportation trying to get in. Let me check back with her to see if she's in yet. And if not, then we'll just go to Mr. Murphy and let the two of them share the time that we have left. So, Cynthia, you there?
I'm not in yet. He had another pickup. So it's going to be another 10 minutes. So he's going to Mr. Murphy, and hopefully I can join the two of y'all once I get in the house. But hello, everyone, and I'm thankful that my husband was able to do the show, and my ass is as I am in traffic right now. But thank you very much, and I want to, we're waiting for a passenger to get on right now. I just want to wish everybody, you know, to continue to strive for peace in your home and your life. And, you know, each one of us sometimes make a mistake, and we're not as peaceful and as loving as we can be. So, you know, let's try to make sure that each one of us, I have this self-talk with myself all the time, to try to take a deep breath and be more caring and loving to our brothers and sisters out here. Because the war is not it's us, it's the war, as my husband was saying, the other things that we're fighting against. So make sure in your household there's peace and there's love. Make sure in the schools where your children are going, you can have as much peace and love as possible. And in your community, your neighbors, hopefully, you can be congenial towards each other. You don't have to be sitting down having tea parties, but I mean not tea parties, but you know, sipping tea together. But just speak to your neighbors and be kind to people. Okay, back to you, Satara. Take the passenger. You'll be here in a minute. Take care.
All right. Okay. All right. Thank you, Cynthia. And I'm going here to bring and chime Mr. Murphy in. David, you there?
Yes, sir. How you doing?
Hey, I'm doing fantastic today, man. Looking forward to seeing you week after next, man, so we can go over a bunch of things and then be able to script some shows and, you know, give people a bigger forecast of how and what we will be broadcasting, because, you know, this is a powerful tool. We want to make sure that we have people chimed in, tuning in to catch our messages, so that they're not left in the dark. Go ahead, take it away, sir.
Yes, sir. First of all, I appreciate you, and you keep doing what you're doing, sir, because it is a wonderful work, and it's a powerful tool, and we have to use these assets not only for our benefit, but for the benefit of mankind totally. And as always, I want to thank God for this opportunity to be on these airways, because this truly is a blessing. It's a blessing to be alive. It's a blessing to share with you. And a lot has happened over this past week. And And I just want to share some of the, you know, current events that took place, you know, and how I reflected on it. As we all know, that there was another school shooting, and everybody's kind of putting their heads in the sand again. Nobody wants to take responsibility. But when man is able to step up and be responsible for his deeds and the things that he can control, then things like this will continue to happen. But what I want to reflect on is more so about this great wedding that they had in England with a sister who they say, well, she's what some would call her, well, you know, biracial. And things like this. But my point is this. I've been watching this because you couldn't help but watch it on the news, you know, because that's all they talked about. You know, and I watched the various hosts and hostesses speak about it. I watched, you know, I was just curious because the tone that I get, I keep reminding people I'm a media man. And I look at the undercurrents of what people, not just what they say, but how they saying it. The verbiage, and what I was noticing, this is just my own reflection, what I was noticing was that the mass media was, to me, seems like they were doing everything within their power to break this engagement up. I mean, they bringing up the young lady past, and they couldn't do too much about that, then they went on to her family members. And then they went on to what she had on, and, you know, they went on and on and on, every little, you know, fact-finding, fault-finding, and how independent, and how old she was, older than he was. She was married before. I mean, they were just bringing up every little thing to see, like, we'll try to cause a wedge between the two. And I know I may lose my black card, I may lose my green card. I may even lose my man card. But, you know, the other night, well, I'd be up in the middle of the night anyway. So this thing started about 4 o'clock in the morning. And I was up, and I watched the entire people as they were speaking about leading up to the wedding. And I actually watched the entire wedding. And were fascinated because secretly and hopefully I was rooting for them because I knew the media was trying to break it up, and the undertones that I was getting is because she is black, and you know, unfortunately, not only here in the United States but globally, people still have this thing about race and ethnicity, and especially there's a special group of people who don't want to see the mixing of the race. They, matter of fact, the young lady is their greatest nightmare when they see when black people and white people come together, and then they had these biracial children, and that's what happened. But, you know, quiet is kept. But, you know, through centuries and centuries and centuries and centuries, we pretty much all mixed up there some kind of way just due to DNA. And you will see we got a little bit of this and a little bit of that, all of us. And so, you know, so, but any case, but man is so fickle in his way of thinking. But any case, one of the underlying reasons why I was truly rooting for them, because first and foremost, love conquers all. And if two people can find within their heart to come together under them circumstances, under love, then I can't find fault with it, because that's what God is all about, love. But what I was seeing with this, getting back to this race card, was that this. Now, you know, we just had a biracial man in the United States, was the president of the United States, Barack Obama, in the White House. Now we in the palace. And a lot of people, you know, in spite of all the disparities, the police killing, the undertones of racial and ethnic things that goes on in this country, you cannot stop evolution. You know, because everybody come from the original man. And that's just us evolving. constantly evolving. And for some reason, some people try to hold on to what they think is prayer, and they have no idea what they're doing or even what they're talking about. But my thing was this, is that now that she's in the family now, I'm just saying that this thing that, you know, some people had this thing they call a glass ceiling. And it just goes to show you, no matter who you are, no matter where you are, no matter what you are, all things are possible, especially through God who strengthens you. And so this just gave me, you know, not only hope, because like I say, you know, the media don't cover much about us in a positive light. Even they try to discourage us, but regardless of what mass media try to do, the average man and woman cheered them on. I watched as they paraded through the streets, how the flags and people was waving, people was all emotional, and you just go to show. See, they don't want to show you that, but you know the mass of people don't have this problem about this racial thing. You know, it's just small pockets of people with small thinking minds that causes this conflict, and unfortunately, a lot of people who thinks like this sits in seats of power. And so what I'm trying to say is when we can arise to the President of the United States, when we can arise to sitting up in the palaces now and any place else that we put our mind that we want to go, that, you know, all things are possible. And so that's one of the reasons why, you know, like I say, I was, you know, happy that it took place, and I'm glad that they were strong enough to not to let the media divide them. And again, love conquered hate. And it just does my heart good, and it sets an example for all of us, in spite of what goes on around us, in spite of what is happening to us. With love, all things is possible. Love can conquer hate every time. And with love in your heart, man, you know, it can heal you. Man, it can do so many things. You know, that's true power. And I just thank God, again, because with love, man, you know, and I thought about this thing, love. I was listening to the minister or the reverend or what they called him, but I understood that he even ministered here in Baltimore at one time. And that's what he spoke about, how the power of love. And a lot of people, it was kind of amusing to me, but a lot of people in that type of setting was not accustomed to that type of dialogue. And as the camera was flashing around, I was looking at the expressions on people's face. But see, I do know one thing. They, you know, people, some swarm, some smile, some giggle. But I do know one thing. See, words are powerful too. God spoke and it was. You see, when the man spoke those words, it penetrated. It penetrated a lot of cold hearts too. It reminded people about the power of love. Because not only myself, but the way I was viewing it, but a lot of people all over the world was viewing this thing. They said, I know that I didn't, you know, take the actual count on it, but they said, well, this was one of the largest viewing spectacles, whatever you want to call it. I mean, astronomical. And people all over the world watched this wedding take place. And a lot of people all over the world cheered it on, too. Because the average man that has a right mind, a right thinking mind, could understand, they could see no problem with two people coming together who's in love, in spite of their background, ethnicity, geographical differences, their upbringings, and everything else. They came together, they met, they fell in love, and they took action, and they married each other. In spite of what the Queen had to say, what England had to say, what the United States had to say, and be quite frank, what anybody had to say. because it was about them and love. And so what I'm saying to you, my people, I know a lot of things around us can make us bitter and angry because the media does it on purpose. They show all kinds of unsavory things to make you bitter. You can just sit there and you can be in the best of mood and sit there and watch the news to end up being bitter, downhearted, downtrodden because of all the negativity that takes place. And see, what you take in, you become. And so they don't show, rarely do they show great things and people doing great and wonderful things in the world. It's highlight, it's sensationalized when they show them people doing wrong or hurting or slandering one another. And because they say it sells. No, that's what they are selling. That's what they are selling. That's what they are pushing. And unfortunately, because we have no control over it, that's what we are taking in. And that's how we react to things. And so I'm in a seat of power myself because I'm part of this thing called the media, the National Black Unity News. And I'm going to tell you this. This I know. It was brought about through divine intervention. It was brought about out of love. And ask me how I know. Well, since you ask, I love my people, but I love mankind. I don't hate nobody because they're this color or that color. I can't reason why a person, I mean, never did anything just because of that. How can I just hate you? And then again, let me take it a little deeper. I tell you this all the time, those who have been listening to me, we're all made of energy. Energy, molecules, cells, all of that. If you break it down, it's nothing but energy. The table that you sit on, the bed that you lay on, the food that you eat, the air that you breathe, energy, just in different forms. And then when you take that energy and you create, because everything is connected. There's no empty space. No, it's all, everything is, it's totally connected. Everything around you is so thick you won't even believe. The air, the chair, I mean, they're just a bunch of molecules floating all over the place, seen and unseen. And so therefore, if everything is connected, that I am you and you are me. And I always say that we are part of everything we see. We are part of this energy, so therefore we are part of the synergy. And so how can I hate myself? How can I hate you? And if God put you on this earth and God is made of love, how can I contradict myself? How can I contradict God? So how can I hate my own brother, my own self, my own being? But, you know, one thing God did give us that separates us from the plants, the animals, insects. He gave us the power to reason, to choose a choice. And you can choose to love. Also, you can choose to hate. Because they all are part of one system, just opposite poles of a spectrum. Just like hot and cold, up and down, in and out. There's no curves, anything else, just one straight line. Where do you separate love from hate? What dividing point do it come from? But in any case, but it is written that love conquers all. Love is greater. Love is a greater power, just like you have a positive end and a negative end. But I'm just say this to you, family. Since you have the power to reason, since you have a choice in this matter, I strongly suggest that you choose love. See, when love can heal your body, love can conquer it. I mean, man, just try it. Just all I can say, just try love. It's such, just the thought of it, the power of it. Can you imagine those of you who have children, when your children was born, when you was raised, how much love did you have for that child, and still do these things? How much love did you have when you held that baby in your arms, and that you would lay down your own life for that child? See, that's love. That's the power of love. That you would sacrifice your life, and that's what God did. He sacrificed himself for love, for the love of us. And so all I'm saying to you is this: out of love, choose love this day. You know, yesterday is gone. We can sit here and stew over things that was wrongly done. We can be bitter about what somebody said or did. We can be upset about who did this to this person, who did that to the other person. And you have a right to do so. But that same energy you use to hate and to be bitter about, if you took that same energy and choose love, see, you can conquer that hate that goes all over this world, because if enough people hating it, and then you take out enough people loving, love will overcome it every time. So enough of us need to take off those old bastards and that cold heart of ours sometimes and take off this bitterness and just try love. And most of all, one of the most difficult things to love yourself. You're uniquely made. God made you. He made you just the way. You're the only kind in this world. There'll never be one before you or after you. You are so unique in your own form. Love it. Embrace it. And all of us have gifts if we seek it and find it and nurture it. It'll make a way for you. You can live a life. I don't care how old I right now, I'm 67 years old. And right now, I'm looking forward to do so many wonderful, great things in my life. And you know why? Because I'm a blessed man. And I understand the power of love. See, there's work out there to be done. There's a lot of haters out there. And hating for, they don't even know the reason why they're hating, because they've been spewed with it. They've been indoctrinated with it. They've been overpowered with all of these media about hate. So those of us who understand the power of love, we have to let our light shine. We have to show this world the true power of love. And sometimes, you know, just like a lot of children right now, sometimes it just takes a hug, a smile, a good morning, or sharing of your goods or services. And you'd be surprised what it does to the other person. When they say, you give, you shall receive. You give love, it's a mirror reflect, like that man in the mirror. You give it, it's going to come back to you. And they can't stop that powerful force. You got a man full of hate, you got a man full of love. You put them together, what I'm going to give, and I can guarantee you every time that man with love will overpower that one with hate. Both of them can't stand in the same place at the same time. Somebody got to give, and I'm going to tell you who's going to win. So all I'm going to say to you is this: if you want to live a good life, no matter what you're going through right now, try love. No matter what, no matter what's going on in your life, just try love. I tell you one thing, you had nothing to lose and a lot to gain. Now, you can choose hate or you can choose love. Will that change your situation? I tell you one thing, by being bitter, mean, and nasty is not going to help your situation much. It's going to make it worse. But I can tell you one thing, if you try love, you can conquer those things that's bothering you or hurting you. But in any case, Brother Satavi, right now, like I say, you know, I reflected over this wedding that took place, and I was so proud and I was so happy to see love conquer again. In spite of all the media attention that it got. And like I said, the way I was looking at it, the media did everything within its power to try to separate them two. They tried to bring up every reason why they should not be together. From their cultural background, from their racial disparity, from everything they could think of, they tried to spew it out through the media. They tried to sway the masses of people that this is wrong. This is not right. Mm-mm. He should have chosen one of us or something like that. You know, why her? You know, all kinds of jealousy. I mean, they tried to diffuse everything into it. But the power of love stood its ground, stood the test of time, stood the test of the media, and it conquered. Now, I don't know what's going to happen tomorrow, but I know love won yesterday. And in my life, it won every time. But sometimes you have to choose love. It's your choice. You can go this way or you can go that way. I strongly suggest to you again, choose love. Now, I'm going to tell you why I'm on this airways right now, because of love. I love my people. I know that there is disparity in this country and around the world. I can't change how other people may think, but I can share with my people to show that nobody's better than you. You put your past on the same way they put theirs on. You uniquely made just the way they are. But unfortunately, the playing field is not equal. So therefore, I come along, like Brother Satavi and Sister Satavi come along, to let you know that even though in a country such as this, disparity and everything else that takes place in this country, we can still do for ourselves. God bless us with everything we need. We don't need to beg nobody, to plead with nobody. We just need to start respecting one another and love one another and watch what happens, support one another. And that's what the National Black Unity News does. That's what it's all about. And that's what I'm all about. And that's why I do the things I do, because I always say this, many are called but few are chosen. And I believe I was chosen to do this. I was predestined to do this. I stand on some strong shoulders. The Marcus Garveys and the Malcolm X's and Harriet Tubman's and everybody else. So many strong shoulders. And that's why I'm here today. Because after I'm gone, somebody's going to need to stand on mines. And every society, every mankind, every animal kingdom, insect kingdom, their main force of living for the survival of their young, to be reproduced, to make a way for their future generations. And that's what I'm doing, and that's what the National Black Unity News does. We're trying to make a way for our young people, a better way of life. We don't put down any group or race of people. We just try to uplift our own. And like I said before, we are powerful, powerful people. We are the original people. We are people. And people need to understand that we are all people. But unfortunately, some people think in a different way, and people out here are actually to harm you, to hurt you, to kill you. But that's out of hate. But if we show up, don't bow down to their way of thinking and their way of living. Don't come at them with the same nasty force they're coming at us with. Let's show them love. And there's power in love. I'm not saying being no chump or no punk or nothing like that. Love is strong. Look how Jesus was. He wasn't no punk. He was a man amongst men. He went in a place the average man would never go and stood up and spoke his mind. And no matter what they did to him, he stood up. He stood firm and he stayed in the gap. That's what we must do, no matter what. And when we show this kind of strength, not only in our homes, when we show this kind of tenacity in our communities, when we show this kind of love around the world, we can set that example again, that love conquers all. So, Brother Satavi, man, it's a good day. I'm here. I'm a blessed man. And I'm so grateful to be on these airwaves. And like I say, I'm 67, but I'm always a student. I'm always trying to learn. I'm always trying to evolve. And yet I get caught up in a lot. I'm only human. I get caught up in a lot of things. Yeah, I get upset. I get angry. But also, I can love. I can show joy. I can show tolerance. I can show patience. I can provide solutions, though. I don't have to just sit back and take what's been thrown at me. I can come out another way. You know, there's more than one way of fighting. There's more way of deflecting negatives by being positive, for one thing. And that's what we're doing with the National Black Unity News. We are a positive publication. We're positive people who got positive solutions. Powerful newspaper. And it's divinely given to us. This I know. And so all I'm saying to you, if you want to subscribe or you want to read the National Black Unity News, go to www.thenationalblackunitynews.com, or you can call 443-455-2373. Brother Satawi, back to you, sir. Okay, while we wait for Brother
This is Cynthia. Go ahead, okay. David. You had something else you wanted to say.
No, I was just saying, you know, as I was going to wait for Brother Satawi, but I was just going to move on. Okay, my brother. And so I just want you know, I was just giving the phone back to you, and I had Cynthia's on the phone, so I think I run my mouth the way I do sometimes. I go on sometimes, but like I say, today is a good day. Every day is a good day, and I watched, you know, I witnessed again. That's why I'm so upbeat today, because I witnessed love conquering over hate, and it just renewed my strength, and to let us know. No matter how many arrows and darts that's being hurled at us, put that shield of love up there, and you can conquer all. Back to you guys.
All
amen
right, all
to
right.
That.
Well, it reminds me of the serenity prayer. God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. And
powerful.
That's so important that, you know, that we keep that prayer, you know, within our midst and our context of how we approach everyday life as we move through the challenges that we, you know, will have to encounter and embrace. And with that said, I'm going to do is I'm going to turn call over to my wife at this point, and then, you know, y'all can go back and forth in terms of sharing things. We got like 33 minutes left.
Okay, well, first of all, I just want to say thank you, Mr. David Murphy, brother, for being on the show. Man, unfortunately, I did not get a chance to see that beautiful wedding. Kim had planned to see it. I don't know what happened with our timing and everything, but it's so refreshing, you know, hearing all the positive things. We went to church today, and Bishop Walter Thomas was saying he focused on how beautiful it was, and the different choirs that sang, the African-American presence that was there, the African presence that was there, and that was just beautiful. And he was just glowing, you know, and oh, you can't. You all haven't been able to hear me, have you? Okay. I was talking. Could you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you.
Okay. I am muted for a second. But Bishop Thomas was also talking about the love and the peace and the beauty. You could feel it as he was expressing it. And one of the things I think that is very important to note is that both of you all are men. And that, you know, for that occasion, this event, this huge monumental event of, you know, you just ladies, we get all into, you know, all the stuff about the, you know, the weddings and all of that. But this, the historicalness behind this and the beauty and the joy and the doors it can open and the changes it can make in the way people feel about people is extremely significant. And the mere fact that you watched it, that you took the time out of your day to watch this wedding, it speaks volumes. Like you were saying, although I didn't see it, you know, how you could see people's faces as somebody was speaking. I think you said that one of the reverends or ministers was speaking. And so it's interesting how acts of love and acts of kindness and people moving forward with the love that they have, how that can have such a universal appeal. And I think, you know, deep down inside, I agree with you, you know, so much that it's a handful of people. There are more people who are loving. There are more people who want peace and love and serenity. And there are more people who want to see their children striving and thriving and the world, people around the world getting along than there are the people who want, you know, the negativity and the destruction and the chaos and confusion. So we had a beautiful opportunity to experience that. And I just think that you weren't rambling. You were just really expressing something that was that we needed to hear. I'm really appreciative of you sharing that. And I hope we get the chance to see, you know, I know it's going to be on the news, you know, more clippings of it. But I'd like to see more of see it, since I did miss it. So I'm hoping they're going to be showing more and more of that on some of the other, you know, channels and things like that. So
yes, but it's all over the place. You know, you can get recordings of it, YouTubes, and a whole lot of other places. And they show, you know, like I say, I've been, of course, I'm always on the computer. And they still bombarding. Now, there's a few who, of course, as you already know, you know, the opposite end of negativity and hate and everything. You know, they, you know, wanted to remind people how England owned half the land in the world, and how can you celebrate their marriage and when she married into a family such as this and such as that. You know, people can nitpick about a lot of things. And,
yeah.
But then again, and like I say, you know, in this world, there's good and there's bad. There's love and there's hate. You know, like I said, there's always opposites and hot and cold. So, but you know, but like I say, the way you view things, you have half empty or half full, you know. But just think about it. Just think about it, though. How do you feel? Think about the emotion when you're upset, when you're angry, when you're mad, when you're hating on something. How your day, how you know, you want to kick something, you want to hit something, you want, you know, think about. Then think about the opposite end, when you're full of love and caring and sharing and stuff, how you feel on the inside. Then your body takes the actual toll just from them two different emotions. The other one, hate causes stress and everything. It can actually kill you.
Yeah.
It can kill you, and love can actually heal you.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So, but you know, they all have, you know, there's a cause and effect. But you know, like I said, but that's a choice we have to make.
Mhm. I think they talked about of Marcus Garvey, and I think there's been a couple other people. I can't remember who historically they were at the moment. How some people saw where people had in the media had put down that people had already died and they hadn't died. And the thought that everybody thought that they had died, that literally killed that person. Wherein, when you have thousands of people writing letters of love and want you to be well, want you to be healthy, how people have been revived, how people have lived, you know, because, like you said, love gives your body a whole different energy as opposed to anger and hate or worry, stress, and all of that. It makes a big difference. And I believe, like you were saying, I think that the Creator, you know, gives us these opportunities every so many years. I'm talking about on a worldwide level, wide stage, of seeing love, of seeing beauty. You know, we saw it in Princess Diana, you know, the love and the beauty. And everybody loved her, you know, for the different things that she was doing. And
right.
It's the same thing. It's the same thing that we see from this year. There are people that the Creator just give us. It's a gift. They're gifts that we receive so we can see, wow, this is love. This is what it really is. And it's a beautiful thing, and it's, you know, the timing couldn't be better. So, you know, we need the healing, we need
yes.
it, and we need it at that level. We need it at the level of somebody being a prime minister or a princess or a king or a presidential level. Something that's beautiful, something that's good. I had the poem, it says, you know, to speak words of beauty. It's something that is beautiful, something that is pure, something that is kind. We want to have those things in our mind. We want to have that keeps us on the road and the path towards love and caring and looking out for our fellow brothers and sisters. So I'm glad that you talked about that. Yes,
yeah,
indeed.
I'm glad, too, because it reminded me of that song Stevie Wonder put out, Love is in Need of Love. You know?
Yeah.
And you know, that's what we need this day, because, like I say, with the Trump and all this stuff that goes on, the school shootings, all this negative, I mean, we bombarded with this stuff.
Yeah.
And just for a brief warm moment, there was love that they flashed on television worldwide.
Mm.
And that's rare. You know, they don't show that.
It is rare. It is so rare. Yes, indeed. And, you know, we're pushing through so much adversity that, like, again, just hearing men, specifically for me, men, because women, a lot of women were going to be looking at that because they want to see her gown. They want to see the flowers. You know, they want to see the process. And not only that, of course, they're looking at the other parts of it, too. I was bringing, you know, two several different groups of people together. But for it to affect the males on the planet, you know, just thinking it affected you that way, and it brought joy to your heart, and it lifted your spirits for those few moments, then, you know, imagine, you know, worldwide the amount of people that it had that effect on. So this is like taking a barometer of the goodness and everything that brought out. I'm just, you know, really happy about it, and just looking forward to what all this, what can come out of such a beautiful union. You know, like you said, with all the bad media and press that they were receiving, they pressed forward. They pushed right ahead and went on to do what was in their heart to do. They're in love, and that's what happened.
Yeah, and guess what else? You know, like I said, with Barack Obama, when it just came into office, see, in spite of all the hate that's going on, God is still pushing us up the front.
Yeah.
You know,
we
as a people, I'm saying black people, you know, in spite of all this, all the negative they say about us and what they think about us, but yet the Prince of England, he chose the people in America. They chose.
Yeah.
Spite of, you know.
In spite of.
Yeah, so what I'm saying, you know, so all I'm saying, even though, because they, you know, media is a powerful tool, but, you know, unfortunately, it's not used in a positive, like it used to sell or to make money or to uplift. It's a tool of power. And a lot of people that's running these tools are doing it for personal and selfish reasons why they do some of the things that they do. Now, and it drowns out the true reflection of God's people, because there's more love in this world than there's hate, because those few who control that media has a broader range of affecting people. You know, they can spread, you know, just like me. I'm one man. But when I put out the National Black Unity News, it goes out to tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands on the internet. You don't know who's reading, who's picking up on it. I know how many we print. I'm talking about the online version. You don't know. Like I said, it's been all over. I get calls from all over the place. And so you never know who's reading what. They don't always respond to you and say, well, you know, I got a newspaper, this, that. But, you know, I get called, oh, man, I got an issue, man. I already seen it. Yeah, man. You know? And so, but you don't know who and what effect that is having on people. Your words, my words, our words. And so, but, you know, but like I say, you know, love, words, you know, both of them are two powerful, powerful, powerful tools. And we're using both of them right now. And so, you know, so we share with people. We do these things not out of just getting paid, not out of just something I want to be heard. No, we do this out of love.
Yes.
I don't want to make positive change, you know. And so and we do the sacrifice, whatever it takes, because that's what's on our hearts.
Yes. You know, the schools I've been going into, I've been doing different work with different schools, and the schools are very international now, very cosmopolitan. You have demographics are no longer just all African-American or all Caucasian. They're very mixed. And so these children, you know, the little girls who were sitting there looking at the news at this wedding with their moms, you know, they got an opportunity, again, to see what's happening in the world on an international basis. And it's very important, especially in Maryland, which is for some people they think it's a big city, but it's really a little city in a way. And sometimes, you know, people, like I guess who lives in North Carolina, and it takes a lot for people to begin to accept people of different ethnicities and things like that. And so it's very important that we know about other people in the world, that we're aware of the different languages, the different cultures, and to bridge those gaps. So this wedding also was another opportunity to bridge gaps, and there's a teaching tool you know, for children to be able to see, you know, across, you know, from one ocean, one side of the ocean to the other, you know, people uniting and coming together and seeing the beauty of what all that can be. And making them more familiar with, okay, well, where is this princess from? Where is it that this princess is from? Well, she will become, she will become a princess. And so that is educational because, you know, usually our children only read about prince and princesses in fairy tales, and this is real, you know. So this is real. This is a real deal.
I'm
going to
share this moment. You know, you'll see it probably see it on the Internet. But, you know, they took this little procession around the town, they, you know, that town they was in. And, you know, they had the gentlemen riding their horses, and they was in the, what they call that little buggy, whatever they call that thing.
Well, carriage.
You know, carriage,
uh-huh.
Yeah. And they had the horse driven, and they all in there, shiny gear and swords out and stuff. You know, they going through the town, and people cheering, they all up on banisters, on poles, waving, and, you know, like they won the Super Bowl or something, you know.
Yeah.
And they cheering, but, you know, I watched a little different from most people. And she was going, you know, they kept, you know, kept the cameras on them too. Now, see, I noticed one thing. See, he'd been through this thing so many times. He went through, you know, Prince Harry been through this thing with his brother, you know, other people, you know, dignitary. So he knows what this is all about. He done been there and done that, you know. But this is her first time. She didn't know what to expect. She didn't know people were going to hate on her. Or were they going to throw eggs at her? She didn't know what to expect when she had to ride through that town.
You ain't kidding, yeah.
Yeah, but you know, but when they went around and then they went back into the gates of the palace, she took a big breath and held her chest and said, I don't believe this. I mean, I can almost, you know, see the expression, how relieved and how amazed she was with the show of love.
Wow, yeah.
And I saw that expression on her face, and I said, and she just took a deep breath and just blew out and just Like it was a fairy tale to her too. Then
fairy tales do come true. That's what they just showed, that fairy tales can come true. Yes, and the world
just,
can
you know,
be
like
a better place.
Like I say, you see, they're stressing not knowing the unknown. But you know, the only way we're gonna understand the unknown is that we got to go do something. We got to step outside this box. You know. And we can't let fear. See, fear and love are opposites, too. And you know, we have to overcome these fears. If God puts something on your heart, we got to move forward. We got to step out there on faith. You know, and we got willing to go where no man has gone before. You know, and we have to do these things because, if you know, see, this is the beauty about life. If we as people had faith within ourselves and faith in God. Like that time, I told you that time when I thought about a newspaper. When I thought about it, it was astronomical. No, you know, it was almost impossible, just the thought of it. But as I started taking baby steps and one step at a time, and behold, one day, I actually held my newspaper in my hand. Because I took those steps of faith. And what I'm saying is this. If God puts something on your heart, if something is on your mind, and if it's good, and it benefits mankind, and it may be a challenge to you, you may not know all the parts of the puzzles and everything, but if you know it's on your heart and you have a desire to do it, and it's for the good of mankind, but you say, well, I don't have enough money. I'm not talented enough. I'm not a public speaker. I'm not this. I'm not that. You know, we can talk ourselves out of a lot of things. But sometimes the most rewarding things in life is when we step out on faith not knowing and not even knowing what we're capable of achieving. Just like that day when I'm a youth her since we've been talking about her all day, that young lady, she was just happening on a blind date. She just happened because of the work within her heart. She loved charity. She loved helping people. That's her nature. So she ended up in Africa, and guess what? He had that same type of nature. He loved sharing and helping people. And then their bridges collided. They came together and they met and they had a conversation with all. They up in Africa, way out there in the woods somewhere.
Oh.
And they talking. And they ain't no the cameramen around, ain't all that fresh. You let, you know, they were just two human beings just talking.
Yeah.
And they found out that they share a lot of the same thing, a lot of the same interests. It wasn't no more color. It was no more. They were just two people, two human beings talking. And they never knew at that first meeting that it would end up to where they are today. they didn't know.
Right. That's right.
It was the baby steps. It was the journey.
Yeah.
And so we never know, like I said, from this day forth, we have an idea, just at least entertain it, take a step forward, investigate it, and then let take one step at a time. Don't worry about the end result all the time, just take the steps. Go on the trip. Just enjoy the trip. You'll be surprised at the end result of it.
That's so true, enjoy the journey. It's like, it's funny, we were sitting on the mobility, and they picked up some people, picked us up from the mall, and they had two or three other people already on there, and you were talking. And so I said, well, let me listen to David while he's talking. I can hear him really good. And, man, you were getting more and more and more interested, you know. And you know, Satoru was texting me, you know, are you ready, you know, whether I was ready or not. And it was like, no, you know, it didn't even matter because I was enjoying the process. I was enjoying listening to what you had to say about the experience that you had had. And that is, you know, I can imagine other people in the audience feeling the same way, listening to that experience and, you know, what you witnessed and how it affected you. And again, like I said, I'm multiplied up by millions of people who saw this. It's a beautiful thing. It's encouraging to people. It's very encouraging to let them know that when they're being their pure self, when they're being their real selves, and like you said, you're not worried about cameras, you're not worried about, you know, anything. You're just being yourself, and you meet a person, or you're in a situation, allow it to just unfold and just enjoy the journey.
That is so true. You know, we so used to putting on fronts. You know, we trying to impress people. We always try, you know, to put on, how we say, put on our best self. You know, we trying to,
right,
you know, this, that. But, you know, sometimes we so uniquely made that we just be ourselves. You'd be surprised at who we really are. And uniqueness, that's what makes us, makes this whole thing works, because we are all part of a puzzle. You know, there ain't no carbon copies or nothing. And everybody brings something to the world. Now, I can have a conversation with you. I can have a conversation with Brother Satawi. And every time we do this, guess what? This is the first time this ever happened or will never happen again the same way.
Yeah.
It's a unique experience every time.
Mm-hmm.
And if we embrace it that way, you know, because just the dialoguing with people, we don't know what we're going to say from moment to moment, but just in these moments, in these little moments. And it goes down in history, now it's past, like what we talked about 10 minutes ago, it's in the past already.
Yeah.
But those words would have a lasting impression on people sometimes.
Yeah.
Those words can have a lifetime.
Mm-hmm.
But so that's why I say sometimes when you meet people, you don't know what they're going through, what they've been through, and oftentimes because all the negatives around us and people carry a lot of heavy loads, and we don't have to carry those loads because we succumb to the pressures of life sometimes, succumbing to the force of love. And God said, you know, that all things will be added unto you. Don't worry. He said, watch the birds of the air.
Mm-hmm.
They don't worry about this. They don't worry about that. But they be provided for.
That's right.
We stress out, you know, about how we going to eat in 10 weeks from now.
Right.
You know, I mean, we stress out about that. You know, and stuff like this. But, you know, I'm not saying be carefree and don't prepare yourself. But in the moment, and it's good to work, it's good to prepare, it's good to do these type of things, especially if you do what you are called to do. It's not really work. You're doing you. And when a person can find himself and his gifts in life, and they do them things, and their gifts will make a way for them. But at the same time, see, that's a life worth living. You being you. You doing this. Now, when you're in your element, how good is that? Just think about you and your children, all the children, like you said, and just think about the time, even when you was in your world helping children, and you was getting paid too.
Yeah.
I mean, how
Well, I ran into one of my students today. I hadn't seen her in years. She's 40. And when I saw her, all I saw was this 10-year-old, because when she was in my group, she was 10. And she reminded me that she didn't really come to a lot of my classes, but whatever, she came enough that I remembered her. She had a, you know, she had an impact on me. And here it is, you know, so many years later, I guess for her, 30 years later, and she actually told me, she actually is working for one of the congressmen right now in his office. And so she says to me, you know, I love dance. She said, and, you know, the dancers performed today at New Somers. And she was really feeling that, remembering back when she was 10 and she danced a lot. And she looked at me and she said, yeah, she said, Ms. Jahi, you and Mr. Jahi, she called him Tatawi, because when we came back from Hurricane Katrina, someone took the call in Cummings' office and gave the information to her. And she says, I know these people. She said, you know, she didn't know anybody else by the name of Tatawi Jahi or Ms. Jahi, but she didn't know we were in New Orleans at the time, you know. And so here she is talking to me today, and it's just amazing. And it made me feel good, but also I told her that, you know, the whole Movements Unlimited thing was not necessarily for her to be a dancer, but for her to achieve all that God had put out there for her to achieve. Because we wanted to see them become, some of them were going to be dancers, some of them doctors, some of them working for congressmen like she is. You know, the sky is the limit. But the main thing is that they felt the love, and it's all about the love.
Yep.
Love, giving the love to the children, and the thing that I'm learning, I'm substituting right now, okay? And I'm learning that I have to, man, I'm going to drop to your knees to regroup and try to figure out, okay, how can I give the kind of tough love or love, or whatever I got to give to help these new babies. This is a whole new situation coming along right now.
Oh, yes. And guess what? I'm thinking about that. I'm feeling you on this. But guess what? Now, that's a new set of challenges. And you see that because they wasn't getting love. You see the end result of not getting it.
Yeah.
And a lot of these children are burning that burden on the children. They angry. They disruptive because nobody really showed them love, real love.
Yeah.
And so here you come along. Now, you got some experience now. You're a veteran when it comes to this. but there's a new set of challenges. It's a new day. They have a new way. They don't think the way those children did 10, 20 years ago.
That
you know,
right.
It's a new set of circumstances. And it's a new challenge. We see that's the beauty about life. Step up to the plate.
Yeah.
Put on your
you
armor.
Step up to the plate.
Go to
yeah. Yeah. You are saying the truth. And, you know, I'm looking, I'm like, this is not the time to give up. This is the time to, like, you just got to say, this is the time to step up to the plate and figure it out, because their lives depend on it. And if they're talking about 5-year-olds, okay, and 6 or 7-year-olds, their lives depend on it, and the world depends on it. They've got to make it. They've got to get it. They've got to get the love, because they are the future. And everything's going to be dependent on them. So it's dependent on us to help them get through this. You know, they're like war babies, you know, they're war babies.
Mm-hmm.
And they've got to make it through. And I'm telling you, is, you know, well, you've probably heard all the different types of stories. You know, they're not looking at older people like anybody that they need to listen to, because the world that they come from, some of them come from homes where they are not expected to listen to anybody else. They listen
That's
to
right.
maybe their mother,
no
maybe
respect,
their father.
No respect for the
yeah.
family, no respect for no one. And so,
yeah.
you know, so that's the way, I mean, that's the environment that they're coming up with. See, we didn't come
yeah.
up with that type of environment. So that's why I say it's a new day and a new challenge. But
that's it.
At the same time, though, see, you tested, you've been tried, and you still, like I say, now it's a new set of day, but one thing for sure, the harvest is great.
Yeah.
We need workers in the vineyard. You know, because you know, they don't remember, you know, and you hear a lot of elderly people used to say it, and you hear people say it now, people my age say it, we are them old grandmothers at.
That's right.
You know, where they at, you know, them the ones to keep people in line and stuff, you know. You know, no tolerance, no this, that, but you know, but it's a different day. So we had to teach a different way. Now these children are extremely confused. And again, when they come back to my industry, they putting all kinds of negative thoughts into their minds. They put these self, it's me, myself, and I. That's all it's about, this music. They being bombarded with. I got mine, and I'm going to get mine by any means necessary. If I have to disrespect you or step on you, that's the way I got to get it.
Yeah.
And but that's not the way. See, they being fed lies.
Mm-hmm.
Their minds are confused before they even get started.
That's
and they need somebody like you. Somebody like you. Who genuinely love. Because sometimes you may be the only sense of love they ever would get until somebody else come along right now. You probably the first thing they ever seen, but they ain't even come to some type of love. You're foreign to them.
Yeah.
A lot of them not even, don't even know them. I mean, don't even never seen it before.
That's it. And the thing that's interesting, and the psalmist today, Bishop Thomas asked the young people to come to the front. When he asked them to come to the front, he just got you talking about the shootings, okay? And he gave them the mic, and he said, I want you to tell me what's on your mind. What are things that are bothering you? And I guess maybe about 10 of them, you know, just randomly. There was no particular person. And they, most of them said one was racism, that they feel racism, that they're dealing with that in their schools. This was middle school and high school students that were talking, but he invited even elementary school children to come down. Some of them said, you know, the fear, they don't know what to expect, the fear of not knowing if something like that's going to happen in their school. But they all said, also said they appreciate him, you know, letting them speak because they never get heard. No, the teachers and parents and people are not listening to what they say. When you go home, this is the thing that people need to hear. When a 5-year-old or a 15-year-old goes home and tells their parent, someone hit me in school, someone threatened to jump me or shoot me, the parents got to get up there and find out what's going on. And people aren't listening, and I know for a fact that some teachers, I have to just have to be honest about it, they're not listening. And so now you have children being unnecessarily frustrated. You know, they're very frustrated. And so it's a very important thing going on. So what he said was, from this prayer that he did with them, he just asked them, like about 10 of them out of a group of 200. They were just standing there at the altar. So then he said, okay, we're going to, and he said, I want some of the casters that's in this group to help me plan an event for these young people, like a cookout kind of thing. And at that cookout, we're going to have the food. He said, you know, the rest of the congregation is going to pay for it. It's going to be free for them. But the main thing is, he said, he wants them to be able to come and express these same things. We want to get it written down. And he had a couple of, people that are inside of politicians there. He said, we're going to put you all to work because these young people have issues. And those of you who are teachers and other parents, we want you to come in too. So we can address these issues. They can't go unaddressed. They can't go brushed under the carpet, you know. And so I thought that was a beautiful thing. So there were children there who may have been their first time, who maybe didn't even care to come to church, don't even like coming to church because they don't feel as though they're ever heard. They just somebody's preaching to them. Today, they had an opportunity for somebody to begin to listen to them. And that for them is love. When somebody listens to you, that's love.
That's right. And somebody showing genuine care about you, you know.
Yeah.
And even right now, you can go to some children right now, and you show them some love. They fear it because they're not. It's foreign to them. You know, they're not used to that. And it's a shame, but unfortunately, this world, you know, demonstrate coldness and because, like I say, because of mass media. Look at the shows that come on TV all day. Look at the music that they listen to. Of course, you know, when we came up, you know, we used to socialize. You know, we even at night with children on the block and all this stuff. We used to do things together. People used to interact with one another. Now everything is done through computers, cell phones. I mean, it's just a cold, untouching world. and words are being said and being twisted and things like that, and all kinds of fear that it's a have and a have nots and all of this kind of stuff, you know, and if you don't have, you get teased and abused, and I mean, so it it's rough. It's extremely rough in society. You know, I don't know if I could deal with the stuff that these children deal if I was a child, you know, but I think we would have to adjust, but I do know one thing, if enough people cared, if enough women showed up in them schools, and especially if black men showed up in these schools, it shows some real love.
Well,
and
one of the teenagers
show some discipline, show some strength, and show them and tell them the truth, you know. And so, like I said, it takes a village.
It does. It really does. Yeah, we're losing right now because we don't have the village concept, and we're gonna. It's an emergency, and we're gonna have to pull that village concept together. Even though we have to drag some people to the village, but we're going to have to pull them, whether they're dragging or whatever, because it has to be done. But one of the boys, I don't know how old he is. I think he might have been a 15-year-old. He said, we really need men in our classrooms. He says, we have a school filled with women, and we need African-American teachers there. We need male teachers.
Mm-hmm.
We need schools now. I'm going to give you a demographic as quickly as I can. From where I've been to, I think, 6 or 7 different ones, and they have predominantly, white female teachers at these schools. And the schools really, Baltimore City and Baltimore County, the part that I've been in, and the part that I've been in, which is in southwest area, is predominantly, I would say most of them are 90% African-American in most of them. And then everything, you know, everybody else is a trickle. At less than 1% Caucasian. And then in some schools it might be 75% African-American, 20% Hispanic, and then others, meaning Asian and Middle Eastern, okay? And then 1%, 1 or 2% Caucasian. But your teaching staff is white females. And one or two schools have maybe 2-3, that's no more than 2 or 3 African-American females. Huh, if you're lucky, maybe 1 male, 1 African-American male, 1 or 2 Caucasian males, you know. So, but what I'm seeing is there has been a cultural change. It's the hip-hop culture, and it's devastating. The hip-hop culture that we see from TV is devastating, and our children are getting the bad end of the stick because they don't realize that they have no clue that their behavior is good, you know, it's just, they have no clue as to how their behavior is affecting the whole situation, you know,
yeah,
themselves,
like I said,
and everybody else.
Any form, words are powerful. Any form. And
yeah.
Unfortunately, those people behind most of these other people are the people making the money, and they know what they're spewing out there. They encourage them to do so, and so because they know it's going to be destruction of a group of people, and so people don't know. See the effects that, like I say, everything has an action or a reaction to it,
mm-hmm.
And so that's why I say we have to start using love in everything we do. You know, sometimes we have to just stand on love alone, just on love alone.
Yeah.
No common sense, no reasoning, just love.
That's a good point. I had this one thing happen I want to share with you and the listeners for a second. I hope we got time. I know it's 5 o'clock. And this is what I wanted to say. What I found that you have to be careful with as a person participating in the school system is not becoming like some of the other people. Okay, for example, let's say that Johnny did something yesterday, and Johnny did something last week, and he did something 3 weeks ago. People have a tendency of piling all that up on Johnny, okay? And I think we all have to have an attitude that today is a new day. Let's give Johnny or Jonathan or Jamira or Jabari, whoever it is, a brand new slate for today. You know, because when you walk into a room and you say, oh, there goes Jabari, there goes Jamira, there goes Saquana, oh, man, she's going to do this today. Oh, boy, what I got to deal with today. And I come in as a sub and I hear this, So this wall that goes built up, I'm thinking, who is this child? Where are they? What are they going to do? You know? And what it does, I think it puts a negativity in the air. But what do you think from that?
You branded that child.
Thank you.
Even though he may act it up this way, that day a few times, but you know, as your teacher, stuff, you're supposed to try to change that attitude, that you know, the way he act or react to things. And because we branded them, put that tag on them, and we leave it there. Not only do we tag them, we promote that tag. Oh, he's bad. Well, that's the one. Watch out, he ain't no good. You know, this, that, and that he's tagged with that.
That's it. And the thing of it is, so when you share that with me, the sub, and then the next sub, so let's say that I might not see them for another month or two. Who knows, you know? So in the meantime, another sub has come in. Here's another person who's saying that, and it's just, or being told that about this child who is 5 years old, 6 years old, 7 years old, maybe 12 years old. And we have to remember, I think the thing that people got to remember is that they're still children. They are actually children. That they don't have the development that we are supposed to have as the adults, the training that we're supposed to have to be able to look at the situation and say, how can I turn this around? And understand that it's not going to be like the magic wand turnaround. Sometimes it is, you know what I mean? Magic wand, you do the magic wand and they actually change. You do something in the classroom and that, you know, we did gardening. And gardening turned some lives around overnight. Overnight from gardening, you saw a child transform. I did it with crochet. That was a blessing that God gave it that happened. So thinking outside of the box, what can I bring to the table to change that in that child? So I'm going back to some of these schools that have been like a nightmare for me because my thing is I got to go back because I'll never know what else I could do unless I go back. I'll never really know that child. You can't know a child from a one-time visit.
Nope.
So since they need subs again, go back. Sit down, maybe talk to the teacher a little bit more. Maybe get a chance to talk to the principal or somebody to get a better feeling of how together, you know, we can turn this around.
And you know, sometimes just a little slight conversation with a child. You know, like there's somebody tag one of them children. You see that child, hey, just pull them up. Hey, how you doing? How you feel? There's just a little, you know.
Mm-hmm.
The children ain't used to that. People showing interest in them.
That's it.
Genuine
That's
interest.
It.
And, you know, but then I know it's getting kind of late, but, you know, like I say, it's always a pleasure. And like I say, you know, the vineyard is great. You know, the work is work to be done.
There's work to be done.
You know, we have to do, you know, the way God put us on God, you know, create us out of love. And therefore, you know, we are love. But, you know, sometimes we forget this. And, you know, we have to operate out of it because if we do, not only will our world change, but we can change the world.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and like I say, you know, from this day forward, you know, we have to be alert because, like I say, this is serious stuff going on out here, serious stuff.
Yeah.
And if we ain't careful, you know, if we're not alert, you know, it can destroy us too. And so, so we got to put on that whole armor, as they say, you know.
Yes, definitely.
Okay, that's bringing us to the end of our time. And so if y'all could give out your contact information, that would be really good.
Okay,
I'm
going to go first. I'm going to say David Murphy, 443-455-2373, the National Black Unity News.com. Thank you.
Thank you. Paul, you can go ahead and give out all information. Is he there?
Our information is info@movementsunlimited.net, 252-458-3712 or 252-406-0774. And we'd just like to thank you for tuning in and look forward to the upcoming shows that we will have. Coming up in the month of June, we plan on being able to get together when I get up to Baltimore so that we can put out like a forecast for the month of shows and content and things that we will be bringing to these airwaves. So, but we want to thank people for tuning in and listening in today. And if I can get a closing comment from either one of y'all, and that'll close us out for the day.
Okay. Well, I'll go ahead and just say, keep the love there in your heart. Just operate out of love, no matter what. Operate. You know, we just went through a lot of rain in the Maryland area. I don't know how far this call goes out. I know it's a Blog Talk with International, but even if it's a stormy weather, even if it's rainy, snowy, or whatever, it's hot. It's just so really hot. If it's noisy, just take a deep breath and just think of love, being loving. Turn it over to you, David.
Well, like I say, love conquers all, and especially to my brothers out there. You know, I know we try, you know, sometimes, you know, we are brought up to be tough, rough, hard, and showing no emotion. But, you know, brother, that was yesterday, you know, and sometimes we are told the wrong things. See, you know, we were created out of love, so therefore we are love. We have to demonstrate love not only in our homes, to our children, to our wives, but to our communities and to our greater communities. We have to stand firm in love. And like I say, if we want to be warriors, let's be warriors of love, because love conquers all. Thank you.
All right. You've been listening to the Jasari's Love Show and the National Black Unity News Show. We want to thank you for tuning in today. And we want to thank our hosts, Mama Jahi for the Jasari's Love Show and David Murphy for the National Black Unity News Show. And until next time, we say thank you. Again, as they say, love conquers all. Love, peace, and happiness. Love, peace, and happiness. So until next time, God bless you. Until next time, God bless you. And we thank y'all for tuning in today.